I'm Chloe Wadd with the Red River Farm Network in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, for the Midwest Agriculture Export Summit. Their motto for the summit is Forging Forward, New Markets, New Sales. I am joined by Jim Sutter, the President and CEO of Soybean Export Council. Jim, what is Forging Forward in the soybean market or exports now?
I think there's a lot of exciting things going on in soy exports. When I think about forging ahead, a few of the things we're trying to do within our organization is, our strategic goals are to differentiate U.S. soy, to build a preference for U.S. soy, and to make sure or attain we have market access for U.S. soy. So in terms of this differentiation, we're doing a lot of work thinking about what makes U.S. soy different than soy from other origins. And clearly, the way it's grown, the way that it's harvested, the resulting nutritional components, the resulting sustainability parameters, all these things that are very important to buyers around the world are things that we are focusing on and making sure we're communicating those. So that's a forging ahead effort. And then, of course, something that we've been doing for several years, we continue to work real hard on differentiating markets for U.S. soy. And what do I mean differentiating? You know, there's a huge buyer of soy in the world, and that is China. They buy almost 60% of the soybeans that leave any country and go to another one. So all the soybeans in global trade, 60%, 6-0, ends up in China. Well, we don't want to have 60% of our exports going to China. We're happy to have we want some share with China because they're so big, but we don't want too many because that puts us in a very vulnerable and risky position. So we're forging ahead with our efforts to differentiate markets for U.S. soy.
Perfect. What are some of the other countries, other options for our exports?
Yeah. So we've got a long list of countries that are very important to us. Mexico, very important customer, our number two customer for several years. The European Union is another long-term important market for U.S. soy, a market that's really been growing in the last few years and 10 years ago was hardly on the chart. Today is Egypt, and they will likely be, the year's not quite over yet, but they could well be our number three export market, number three or number four. And then if you just go down the list, you find Pakistan, Bangladesh, Algeria is growing, other countries in the Americas region, lots of countries in Southeast Asia. The Philippines, our number one market for soybean meal, and soybean meal exports continue to grow. So just lots of different markets, and that's what we want to see, is this wide differentiation.
Perfect. And then kind of looking at projected global soy demand and projected global soy production, where are we sitting with that?
You know, it's an interesting situation because for the last 2 or 3 years, every year we've been building global stocks, meaning we've been producing a little more than we've been consuming on a global basis. Well, this year, it appears that we may be turning that corner. The year we're in right now will be almost in balance because the crops in South America were only a tiny bit above where they were last year. Demand continues to grow. So this year it looks like it'll be about in balance. And next year, depending on how the U.S. and the South American crops come out, it appears that we may actually draw stocks down for the first time in several years. I think that's probably why we've seen prices move somewhat higher already. And I think that's something we need to watch carefully because it could be, it could be a significant change for the market and something that, I think that this is a long-term business. It goes in long-term cycles, but it could be the start of an important shift in a cycle.
Perfect. And kind of a similar question, how U.S. soy is positioned to meet the demand, what differentiates the U.S. soy from their origins, and why does it matter for international customers?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So what makes U.S. soy different is, as I mentioned a little bit before, but it's really the way that our farmers grow it and the climate that we grow it in. We're not growing it in a tropical climate. And we are growing it in a place where the plant actually matures and the crop dies on its own. And then we let the soybeans dry down naturally. And that's when they get harvested. And then in the case of the Dakotas, we put them into cold storage for the winter, you know, so they stay in a very, very pristine condition. That's not the same case with soybeans grown in the tropics in South America. So we have a much different nutrient profile, and people are really starting to understand that. We're doing more and more feeding trials. We're sharing more and more data and information on this all the time. So I think people are starting to understand that. So I think the question of how is the U.S. positioned to handle this growing demand around the world and this possible shift? Well, I think our U.S. soy farmers are ready for the challenge. You know, we had more soybean acres this year than last year in the U.S. Timing seemed good with that. We'll see how the crop turns out here in the U.S., but I think there will be really good demand for the crop that is harvested. So we've got this high-quality crop. Looks like we've seeing good demand. We're also seeing this shift in the U.S. where we're crushing a few more soybeans domestically. And a lot of the meal that is produced from that is going into international markets. So we're tapping into a growing meal market around the world. Historically, we've only exported about 12 million tons of meal a year. This year, it looks like it could be as much as 20. That's been gradually going up over the last few years. And that's as we have more meal available. It allows us to further diversify shipping meal to different markets, kind of to this rest of the world, aside from China. Now, I don't want to leave the impression we don't want China as a market. We want to be there to supply China. We work hard at being a good supplier to them, and we've had relationships there since 1982, so 44 years. But we don't want too many eggs in the China basket. I think we're all happier when we have a lot of eggs spread out in many places. So differentiation of products and destinations is really good for our U.S. soy farmers and the whole U.S. soy industry.
Perfect. And last one, a big topic right now is tariffs. How is that affecting our soy?
That's a really good question. And I talked a little bit about that on the panel this morning, because I think the first thing you think of when you hear tariffs is, oh, my God, that must be bad for us. And yes, when the Liberation Day tariffs were announced on April 2nd, 2025, there was a lot of negative reaction by people around the world. And then as people looked at it more and more so and studied it, they, you know, it's what it's really after. And what I think this administration was elected with a mandate to do is try and get our trade in goods more in balance so we have freer and fairer trade. So we're more balanced with our trading partners. So as a result of those tariffs, our USTR group has been working very hard to negotiate agreements on reciprocal trade or framework agreements that are the start of those what called ART agreements. So I think there's a lot of good things that can come out of that work with tariffs. Sure, it was a bit of a shock to the system when it first hit, but I think the work that has been done since then has the potential of being really good for U.S. agriculture. Now, what we need to make sure happens is that we get those trade agreements implemented, because a lot of them have been put in place, and there's work being done to get them finalized. And I'm really excited for when they are finalized and implemented. I think we can really see even more robust demand for U.S. soy and, of course, other U.S. agricultural products as well. So when people hear the word tariffs, they shouldn't instantly think negative, because maybe those tariffs are going to make something good happen. I think that was the whole intention of the administration.
Anything else?
I'd just like to say thank you to U.S. soybean farmers for the way they produce their crop. You know, one of the things, and we haven't talked much about it, but is sustainability. And while in the U.S. we don't talk so much about that, I think people kind of take it for granted. Around the world, people want to know that the crop that they're buying or the food that they're buying didn't harm the environment when it was produced. And the way that our farmers produce their crops and the way then that we're able to kind of package that into the U.S. soy sustainability assurance protocol that gives buyers all around the world confidence and comfort in the crops that they're buying, I think it really gives the U.S. a leg up in terms of marketing our crop, and it's thanks to the work that our U.S. soy farmers do.
Thanks, Jim. I'm Chloe Wadd, reporting for the Red River Farm Network.